I doubt there's anybody here this afternoon who would deny that Christmas is a time for giving and it's time for receiving. Giving and receiving. I learned that 48 million adults in the UK plan to buy Christmas presents this Christmas. That's giving. I'm hoping it's going to be receiving too. The spend on Christmas presents this year is expected to be £22.7 billion. If you add on food and socialising to that, the annual bill this year is expected to be £46.4 billion. It's a time of giving. It's a time of receiving. We will buy 227,000 miles of wrapping paper, enough to cover over the whole island of Guernsey. It's a time of giving. It's a time of receiving. And if you listen very carefully to the reading we just heard from Alistair, you will see that that reading indicated that the first Christmas was also a time of, guess what? Giving and receiving. Alistair read these words: "But as many as received him, to those who believe in his name, to them he gave the right to become children of God." Those who received God's gift by believing became something they weren't previously. They became children of God. And so before we sing our last carol this afternoon, I want us to realise that we too can become children of God by believing and receiving that first Christmas gift. But let's start back again with giving and receiving. All over the world, people will be giving and receiving this Christmas. I'm told that 6 million rolls of sellotape are sold in the run-up to Christmas. That's how busy we're going to be wrapping presents. £700 million this year will be spent on unwanted Christmas gifts. Presents, giving and receiving. But it's the same with cards too, isn't it? You may know that a man named Sir Henry Cole is said to be behind the very first printed Christmas card, like the ones we now buy in the shops. In the year 1843, he asked a designer by the name of John Horsley to design it, the very first Christmas card, and he did. And inside were the words, "A Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year to you." Not much has changed, has it? That's the first Christmas card. Of all the greetings cards sent throughout the year, 45% of them are Christmas cards. So we give and receive not only presents, but also cards. And the remarkable Christmas fact that I came across for the first time this year is that the record number of Christmas cards sent by one individual in one single year is 62,824. That must have been before the price of postage went up, mustn't it? When I saw that figure, I thought, I've got to find out more about that. And I did find it. He was a chap called Werner Earhart in San Francisco. And in December 1975, he sent 62,824 cards. And I don't know about you, but I didn't get one of them. Anyway, personally too, isn't it? We're thinking about giving and receiving presents and cards. We think carefully, don't we, about the presents we buy for other people. I mean, you'd hate to be the man, wouldn't you, who last year bought his wife 3 presents and 2 of them never saw the light of day. Not because they were eaten, they just disappeared into a drawer, such that this year she gave her husband very precise instructions on exactly what she wanted this year for Christmas presents. We spend a lot of time, don't we, thinking about what we're going to buy and also answering the question, well, what do you want for Christmas? These days it's more than my 2 front teeth, isn't it? And cards, that once a year communication for very many of us, more electronic these days. Some people have stopped the practice because they now give the equivalent spend to charity, but we give and receive cards. Giving, receiving. Receiving, giving. And it's the same process at the very heart of Christmas. Go back to that very first Christmas and you might think of the gifts of gold or frankincense and myrrh. But in that very, very first Christmas, the Bible tells us that God gave. God gave. For God so loved the world that he gave. There's the beginning of the process. God gives. Question, what did he give? Well, he gave a gift like none other. He gave the very gift of gifts. He gave a priceless gift. And I guess you know what the answer is. He gave his only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We're familiar, aren't we, with the nativity scene, those staggering statements made about the one who was born, conceived of the Holy Spirit, born to a virgin, whose name will be called Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. Another name given to him is Emmanuel. Translated, it means God is with us. Staggering claims of one who would be born a king whose reign would extend forever and ever and ever. God gave, and he gave his only begotten Son. But there's another way of putting that. We could also say that God gave the most thoughtful, the most generous, the most loving gift ever possible. He gave simply the best. And if you think about it, you wouldn't expect anything less. But this is now to try and help you to understand Christmas if you've never quite got it. If you understand that God gave his only begotten Son, and you recognize that he must have given the most thoughtful, the most generous, the most loving gift, can you describe why his only begotten Son is the most thoughtful and generous and loving of gifts? And if you can't, well, I'm here to help you just for a few more moments today. Why is Jesus Christ the most thoughtful, the most loving, the most generous gift? Well, I want you to think about those people who received him, the recipients of the gift. They were human beings, weren't they? Ordinary men and women and young people. Although the Bible says that no human being is ordinary in the sense that we've all been created by God in his image and we've been created for him. He's made you and me for himself. What does that mean? It means that we were created to be continually captivated by the magnificence of our Maker. The God who is eternally self-existing. Nobody ever made him. He always was. He's a great God. The Bible says, from whom, through whom, and to whom are all things. And he created us that we would be captivated with his magnificence, with his power, with his wisdom, with his beauty. He made, created every element in the periodic table, every colour, every bird, every sea creature, every animal that crawls along the ground, the beasts, the cattle. The Bible says he made them all. And he rules over every blink, beat, breath, molecule, galaxy. He made you and me to be continually captivated by his magnificence. He made us to be in a conscious relationship with him. He made you for himself. We were created to live in harmony with him, to walk through the journey of life side by side with him, every step of the journey. And thirdly, he made us that we would be careful to be obedient in everything he said, that we really would love our neighbours as ourselves and love him with all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our strength, all of our mind. These are the people who received the gift. But it's clear, isn't it, that we've not come close to that. That's what he made us for, but not one of us here has come close. Have you? I'm sure the answer, like it is for me, will be no. We've not loved him, have we, in the way that we should have done? We've not kept our desires pure, have we? We haven't kept our tongues in check, stopping those cutting, gossipy words of put down. We haven't failed to be jealous, have we? Or envious? In fact, rather, it's true of us, is it not, that we've been taken up with the gifts, but never with the giver. We've enjoyed the gifts he's given of life and health and food and abilities and every other good gift, but we've been taken up with the gifts and not with the giver. And he made us to be captivated, to be in conscious walk with him, to be careful about our obedience, and we've failed, every one of us. It's troubling, isn't it? How could we, when we think about it, how could we have lived as thanklessly as we have, as selfishly as we have, in such disobedience and rebellion, facing the guilt we do, and facing the eternal penalty too, which he has set? It's true, isn't it? These are the recipients made for God, but we've all fallen short of his glory. And that's the wonder of Christmas. Because to such people, God has sent the most thoughtful, the most loving, the most generous gift. I mean, the gift himself is wonderful, but the sending of it is astonishing. Fancy sending a gift to these people who haven't lived in a way in which you, the Maker, have decreed that they should. Would we have sent a gift to such people? Is it not more like our own hearts to say things like, well, I shan't be sending them a Christmas card this year. I've written them off my list. Well, why have you done that? Well, they didn't send me one last year. Well, they never thanked me for that present. They didn't remember my birthday. She didn't invite me to her 40th. No. Ever feel like that about somebody? Have you spent much time in the run-up to this Christmas giving thought to sending a generous, loving, thoughtful gift to somebody that you really don't like, you really don't get on with, you really wouldn't want to spend much time with them? They've hurt you, they've wronged you, you perhaps count them more as an enemy than a friend. How much time have you spent thinking about giving somebody like that a present or a gift? Yet that's exactly what God did at the first Christmas. He so loved the world, and by that term world, it means the human race in its rejection of God, the human race in its proud independence. You see, God isn't like Father Christmas, who gives gifts only to those who've been good. God has loved those who have not loved him. As we sung in the carols, it's God and sinners who are reconciled. We need to pray, cast out our sin. But the wonder of Christmas is that to such people, God sends his only begotten Son to rescue them from their condition, to be their saviour. The Bible says Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners like me and like you, to save us from our sin and the death that that requires and the endless penalty that is required of it too. To save us from that and to save us to a life of forgiveness and a life that is described in the Bible as eternal life, knowing God forever as our loving Heavenly Father and our friend. 2,000 years ago, God looked upon a world that rejected him. He sent his Son, the Lord Jesus, to be a Saviour. And at the age we think of 33, he died on the cross to cancel out that which now stands between us and God, the huge chasm of our sin. Jesus came to wipe that out by facing the punishment for it himself upon the cross. That's the wonder of Christmas. God gave. He gave the most thoughtful, the most generous, the most loving gift ever. He gave his only begotten Son to be a Saviour in whom alone there is forgiveness. We won't find it anywhere else. And the price of the gift, well, it was priceless. Because in love, Jesus chose to die, to be forsaken, and to pay the price of his people's sin. And the people who received him? Well, those who were created by God like him and for him, but never came close. Those who didn't deserve such a gift. And notice that very many didn't receive him. But remember the little verse on the invitation this year? As many as did receive him, to them God gave the right to become children of God. You simply have to receive him. And that verse says that to receive him is to believe upon him. Alex made it very clear this morning what that means. It means that we know what the truth is, the great message of why Jesus came. We believe it in our heads. But then thirdly, because of that, we put the whole of our life into his hands. We turn from our sin. We believe upon the Lord Jesus to save us and to forgive us. And when we do that, we become something that previously we weren't. We become children of God. And a new life starts in which we are now captivated by his magnificence. In which we're now in conscious relationship with him and we're as careful as we can be to be obedient in all things. I don't know when your Christmas began this year, whether you went up to the loft, whether you went into the garage, found the old decorations. As I went to the box this year, I found this. It's a Christmas gift. It's orange and lemon jelly slices. This was given to me, I think, in 2017, possibly 2015. The sell-by date is the 15th of June, 2018. And I've never been interested, never opened it, never tasted it, never benefited from it. It's still around. But by me, it's rejected. And isn't that a picture of what Jesus is to many? Perhaps it's a picture of your response to him as well, up until today. And it's Christmas. And it's a time for giving and receiving. And God has given. And you can receive. And as many as received him, to those who believed in his name, to them he gave the right to become children of God. You can become a child of God here today by receiving that first Christmas gift, Jesus Christ, into your own heart through believing upon his name.